Good morning and welcome to Studies in the Gospels right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host of this program, where each week we take a look at the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Today we're going to consider Jesus' healing of the man born blind that we read of in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. The encounter of Jesus and the man that was blind from birth in today's encounter of John chapter 9 is another fascinating event that is typical of John's writing. The Holy Spirit-inspired apostle has given us a fascinating narrative to glean from. Let's begin now in John 9 and verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, and the night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The events related here in chapter 9, in all probability, occurred immediately following the events of chapter 8. Notice now, let's go back to verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Jesus had been very close to being stoned in chapter 8. And in spite of that now, he immediately extends great mercy by healing this downtrodden blind individual. This is the only one of the many healings of the blind that records that the man was born blind. In verse 2, "And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" The disciples saw this as an opportunity to gain more understanding from the Lord. The conventional wisdom of the first century believed that if one was born blind, that it was due to sin by the parents, grandparents, or even the unborn child, some believe could sin. Verse 3, Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." Original sin is a false doctrine and is not possible. And Jesus states that this was not caused by the man nor his parents' sin. Jesus did not say that the adults had no sin, but that their sin did not cause the blindness of the man. There is a common belief among many that all human suffering is the result of sin. Many do suffer disastrous physical and emotional suffering as a result of their sin, or sometimes as a result of other sin. Suffering is not always the result and consequence of sin. Job is a great example of suffering that was not caused by his sin, even though his so-called friends attempted to attribute his suffering to sin. Verse 4 says, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." Rather than sin, this man's blindness provided an opportunity for God to be glorified in his sight, being given to him for the first time. We can see the urgency presented in verse 4 by Jesus. The Lord's time was limited, and the cross was ever before him. Verse 5, Jesus said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." The light of the world would only be here for a short amount of time in the flesh. In verse 6, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. So Jesus spat upon the ground and made spittle of the clay, and he anointed the blind man's eyes. In verse 7, Jesus said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated "sent." So he went and washed and came back seeing. Jesus gives the man a divine command to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man obeyed the instruction of Jesus. When he obediently followed the command of Jesus, he came back with sight. But now notice, the miracle of sight came after his obedience. Brother Robert Taylor Jr. noted here that he went to wash and then sight was given. We are not saved and then seek out a place to be immersed. We, as hearing, penitent, and confessing subjects, are saved when we are baptized or immersed in water. Jesus' blood saves, but saves as we obey. Not in defiant disobedience, which says, "I will not be baptized for the remission of sins, regardless of what the Bible says." Now, most may not literally say that, but their actions convey that. And attitudes like this pave a sure path toward hell. So now let's consider the miracle. Verses 8 through 12. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is not this he who sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." He said, "I am he." Therefore they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" And he answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed, and I received sight." Then they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." Now back to verse 8. It said, "Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, 'Is not this he who sat and begged?'" Evidently, the blind man and his condition was well known to many people. This man would have been well known as a beggar in the streets with no other means of income. And so we see in verse 9, some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." He said, "I am he." People that knew him were puzzled and unsure if it were actually the man they knew to be blind. Some thought he was a look-alike. The formerly blind man said, "No, it is me." In verse 10, "Therefore they said to him, 'How were your eyes opened?'" They, after realizing that it was the same man and that he had received sight, wanted to know how this had come about. They were naturally curious. How could it be? He answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay, and anointed my eyes, and said to me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. The formerly blind man gives them an explanation of what had happened when he encountered Jesus. In verse 12, then they said to him, Where is he? He said, I do not know. Their natural response was to ask where Jesus was now. Now let's look at the events that follow the miracle. We pick up in verse 13. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was division among them. They said to the blind man again, What do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, He is a prophet. The gathered Jews take the man before the Pharisees. Many felt that he had violated the Pharisees' traditions about the law. Some would have been fearful of the Pharisees and their hatred toward Jesus. They may have felt that since Jesus had healed the man, the Pharisees would need to know and make a decision about it. The miracle occurred on the Sabbath, according to verse 14, and thus would go against the traditions of the Pharisees. But it was certainly no violation of the actual law of Moses. But the self-righteous Pharisees would love the chance to accuse Jesus. The man's account causes no small friction among the Pharisees, according to verse 16. The Pharisees had created their own rules regarding the Sabbath that bore no resemblance to the Mosaical rules regarding the Sabbath. While the Pharisees are splitting hairs, the formerly blind man is growing in his faith. Notice that in verse 11 he calls Jesus a man, and by verse 17 he refers to Jesus as a prophet. And if you jump down to verse 38, he confesses Jesus as the Son of God. Now let's continue and pick up in verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself, his parents said. These things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, He is of age. Ask him. Now we return to verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. So the Jewish leaders decide to recant what they had previously acknowledged concerning the blind man receiving sight. They decided that it was something of an elaborate hoax between Jesus and the man, and perhaps his family, and thus decide to bring the family before the authorities and prove that this was not real. Verse 19, and they asked him, them, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" So they put forth a three-part question to his parents. Is he your son? One, was he blind? Two, and how does he now see? Three. In verse 20, his parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself." The parents were willing to answer the first two questions, that he was their son and that he was blind from birth. Sadly, they did not have the courage to answer the third question. They would not answer the third question and pointed to their son to answer the last question by saying that he can speak for himself. In verse 22, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." They did this out of fear of the Sanhedrin, for they had made it clear that anyone who spoke out in support of Jesus would be kicked out of the synagogue. How sad that they would not stand on behalf of the one who gave their son sight for the first time in his life. And we continue in verse 24. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." Then they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." We go back to verse 24. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." So after bringing this man's parents into a fearful subjection, they turn their attention now to the formerly blind man with the full intent of bringing him to his knees before them. They demanded that he give the credit and praise to God the Father and not to this sinner known as Jesus. Verse 25, he answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." The man could only speak what he had seen and heard, like Peter and John. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. In verse 26, they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" Their anger is beginning to seethe against the formerly blind man. Verse 27, he answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" What an absolutely brilliant reply. Do you also want to become his disciples? They were not even true disciples of the law of Moses, which they so claimed to honor. What a sad and pathetic joke were these Pharisees. How blind of heart and ignorant can man be when he so chooses to be? Continue in verse 30. The man answered and said to him, "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sins, and you are teaching us." And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. The once blind man truly put these Jewish leaders in their place. "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes." Oh, how this must have aroused such great anger in these self-righteous fools. "Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him." God does not hear sinners. He hears those that obey and keep his commandments. How could this man, Jesus, not be from God? If he were not of God, he could do nothing. To do these wonderful works, he must be from God. God would not hear the prayer of these Pharisees, for they were abiding as slaves to sin and not righteousness. When the Jews were unable to argue with the logic of the man, they turned, as so many do even today, they turned to the personal attack. Notice verse 34. They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us?" And they cast him out. And thus the man was cast out from their presence. Jesus seeks out the man because of the good heart that was in him. 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" Jesus answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Jesus revealed that he was the Christ, and the man immediately believed. This man's faith was growing rapidly. And now notice verses 39 to 41. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, that those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' Therefore your sins remain." Jesus preached a judgment for two classes, both the needy and the satisfied. Jesus gave light and hope to the needy that penetrated the soul and gave hope to those individuals. Recall Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. To the satisfied, the message would not go through, for they were seared of conscience and numb to sin. How do you receive Jesus? Are you open and ready for the word? James chapter 1, verse 21 says, Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Or has your mind been sealed up to now with sin? Let's close today with Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Where do you stand? What will you do about Jesus? Our time is up today. I want to thank you for joining us. If the Lord wills, we'll be together again this same time next week for another edition of Studies in the Gospels right here on the Gospel Radio Network. And until then, this is Chris saying so long, and I hope you have a great day.